And welcome now to The Midday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and I have a fellow radio announcer here with me today. However, she is not so well known in that role as for being one of the great sopranos of our time, a two-time Grammy winner, and she's going to be performing with the Madison Symphony three times this weekend. And welcome, Sylvia McNair.
Thank you, Norman. Great to be here.
Gosh, what a great radio voice.
Oh, well. Yeah, I love radio. I did radio in graduate school for an NPR affiliate in Bloomington, Indiana, WFIU. Whoops, better not say that. It's not a station ID, not a station ID.
No, it's okay. It's fair. Well, pleasant to have you here in any capacity.
Thank you.
And, if it's both, that's so much the better. You're going to be performing this Holiday Pops concert with Madison Symphony tonight already. Wow, tonight.
Tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday afternoon. Tonight at 7:30, tomorrow evening at 8, and Sunday at 3. 2:30. 2:30.
And so what will be your part in this
Well, I think I get the best part because I get to stand downstage of the orchestra and the choruses and listen to the beautiful sounds that they're making. I just have to say for everybody listening that the Madison Symphony and the Madison Symphony Chorus are sounding so good. It is such a treat to hear them play and to hear them sing. The concerts we're doing this weekend are filled with beautiful music. There's kind of something for everyone. If you like Baroque music, you're going to get to hear the orchestra play one of the Vivaldi Seasons movements, the winter.
I was going to guess.
The winter, yeah, exactly. You'll get to hear, of course, the famed Hallelujah Chorus, so there's some Handel in there. There's Bach, the chorus, the symphony chorus singing Bach. Plus, there's modern classical music. There's pops. There's gospel. It's a buffet of wonderful music.
Like
all holiday music.
Holiday smorgasbord there.
Holiday smorgasbord, I like
that.
But
you won't get indigestion for having some of everything.
Oh, not at all. It's fantastic.
Well, speaking of fantastic, you have quite a number of recordings to your credit, I think.
They're all out of print, though.
For
that's
now.
What happens when you're old.
For now. But it's great stuff. And quite a variety of it also, ranging, probably about 4 centuries or so.
You know, I think about that. Yeah, I think in my recording career, I've covered 4 centuries of music. Wow, yeah.
And some of it, some of the earlier stuff is by a composer who is a wonderful songwriter, wrote all kinds of songs, very secular, in fact, in some
cases.
Yes,
exactly. But also some great sacred music. Yeah,
ran the whole spectrum there. Henry Purcell, and you have a whole collection of Purcell to your credit.
I do, and I'm proud of that disc. I fought hard to make that disc in, 1995, which was the 300th anniversary of Henry Purcell's death in 1695.
One of his best.
And it won a Grammy.
That's one of the two grand. What was the other one?
An opera by Handel.
Oh, right. Yeah. Not one of the ones we even hear of very often.
No, Semele.
Oh, it was a Semele. Mm-hmm. Okay. Definitely one of the more famous ones then. This is one of the better known works of Henry Purcell, Music for a While. And performing with Sylvia McNair is the Academy of Ancient Music, led by from either the harpsichord or the organ. Probably the harpsichord.
Harpsichord.
Christopher Hogwood. That was a lovely, ethereal performance in a, as you say, Sylvia, drafty old church.
A drafty, old, cold church in London. But, you know, as I was listening to that piece, I just thought to myself how lucky I am that, you know, I get to have this life where music for a while does all of our cares beguile. When I listen to the news nowadays, I just want to bury my head in the sand and let music heal my broken heart.
Well, it certainly has a long tradition of doing that, doesn't it?
Oh, we are so lucky. We are. Musicians are so lucky.
Well, we're all lucky to have this CD of yours with nothing but Mozart on it, too. And it wins one over all over again, hearing it. What is the story? What is the context for Porgy Amor?
Oh, Porgy Amor is the first aria in Act Two of The Marriage of Figaro. The Countess has just woken up in her bed alone. So she is very deeply depressed about the fact that her husband, well, he has a lot of appetites that he does not satisfy with her. So she's very sad about that. And she asks to please have love brought back into her life. Rings true for a lot of us.
Well, yeah, that's why people like to go to the opera or hear songs in general, because they can often
relate
to them.
Yeah.
So this from The Marriage of Figaro, and this takes us back to roughly the same time as The Purcell does in the 1990s or so.
Oh, as far as the recording, mm-hmm. Yeah. Except The Marriage of Figaro was written about 90 years after Purcell died.
Oh, for sure, yes.
But these were all made in, I think this recording was made in the late 1990s.
Right. Then, let's see. Performing with you, it looks like the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields.
That's right, and our blessed friend Neville Mariner.
Kind of floats, doesn't it, a lot of that Mozart?
Yeah, but she's saying, please bring him back or let me die.
Well, yeah, it's a little dire, but still, the way it's said is perhaps Trump, no pun intended, trumps the content.
You know sound, I doubt people know that Neville Mariner's son, Andrew, was the principal clarinet player in the Academy of St. Martin's, and so that was Andrew Mariner playing that beautiful clarinet part.
I think he turns up occasionally in a solo credit, if I remember right.
Yeah. Great family. I became very close friends with the Mariners. Molly Mariner and Neville's widow is just the sweetest human who's ever lived.
I met them many years ago. It was just before he was knighted, and somebody asked, so I understand you're going to be knighted, and aren't you excited about that? And Lady Neville Mariner-to-be said, and I don't know what she meant by this. It just means things cost more.
The Brits have this love-hate relationship with the knighthood.
Uh-huh,
very few of them ever turn it down, right? But they trash it all the way to the altar.
I think that's a kind of a British British frame of mind.
Yeah.
This is all French, this CD on the Philips label, featuring my guest today, Sylvia McNair, and quite a lovely combination of things it is, too. You don't often hear, for example, songs by Messiaen. You do hear more often songs, of course, by Bizet and by Debussy. But Fauré is represented, too, and he has some lovely little entries in that collection.
Yeah, he does. I think we chose a song called Rêve d'amour. Is that right?
That's the one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely, lyrical foray. Did any of the words come back to you after?
Too many high notes in that song, too.
Yeah, but nice.
Yeah, I do remember the poem. I do remember the poem now that we heard it again. I don't ever listen to my own recordings, Norman. Ooh, it's torturous.
Well, yeah, because you're always, one step beyond that in terms of your artistic development. You know, and it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the earlier recording. It just means you're thinking in different terms.
That's a good point. Very good point. Well taken.
Lovely stuff. We have a couple more, so we say now for something completely different.
Yeah, let's have some fun here.
Well, fun and Truman Capote are not terms that I would usually link together, but here it actually works because he was somehow involved in the writing, the composing of these two songs.
Well, he was the lyricist, I think, with Harold Arlen writing the music. Yeah. I can't remember which one we decided to play first, but
that would be
this. This is a recording that I made with Andre Previn playing the piano. So
what do we start with?
I think we're going to start with Sleepin' Bee.
That's the one.
Is that possible?
Yeah.
Okay, Sleepin' Bee, words by Truman Capote, music by Harold Arlen, Andre Previn at the piano.
Sylvia McNair, the soprano.
When you're in love, my one true love I have found.
Did you get into that?
David Fink on bass, Andre Previn on the keyboard. Words by Truman Capote, music by Harold Arlen, A Sleepin' Bee.
Singing by Sylvia McNair.
Thank
wow,
you.
Those low notes there, you had those.
Well, you and I were talking while that track was playing, and I said something to you which I probably shouldn't admit to Radioland, but I think I was a pop singer first who learned how to sing opera rather than the other way around.
Yeah, and I said that I think that's a good thing because that way you're not inclined to overblow the pop songs when, you know, opera singers come the other direction.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, whoa, you're, you know,
too much.
Not in the metric.
Too much. Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah. The popular music is so much more words driven. I mean, for me, it's the words existed first, right? So it's literally words first, music second style of writing. And I try to honor that and absolutely love singing the Great American Songbook. It's my happy place.
We have one more short one with that same combination.
Yeah,
so
right.
This will get us slightly late to the quiz question and well worth the wait.
One's a toe tapper.
This is Truman Capote again and Harold Arlen, and it's, what is the name of it?
Two Ladies in the Shade of a Banana Tree, which we could use right now in Madison. Pause. The main reason and cause, two ladies in the shade of the banana tree. Shade. Two ladies in the shade. Two ladies in the shade of the banana tree. Banana tree. Okay, I'm going to guess that's probably the only time today, at least, on your radio station, the phrase a banana tree will be uttered.
We're going to see to it, Sylvia, so that you have a lock on that phrase.
Good. For the day, at least, Norman. Thank you.
That's all I can promise.
David Fink on bass, Andre Previn on piano.
Virtuosi all. And my guest today, which is to say Sylvia McNair with the words. Great having you.
Thank you. And we're here because we want everybody to come to the Madison Symphony and Chorus holiday concerts this weekend.
Which are pretty close to sold out.
Pretty close. Tonight, 7:30, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Sunday afternoon at 2:30, with a carol sing before the concert begins with the symphony chorus and some holiday music to start your season off just right. We've got to bring some joy back into our lives. And we're going to do it at Overture Hall tonight.
It sounds like you're all revved up for it. Okay, we're looking forward to that. And to your next visit, if you want to use your DJ expertise from your past, you know, warm up again for a future career, we're available.
Thank you, Norman.